Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 257, Fitness Simplicity, by Ryan Zilanka with jcdfitness.com, and I'm your narrator, Dr. Neil. Welcome to another edition of Optimal Health Daily, where I read some of the best blogs covering health and fitness, just like an audiobook. Now, today's post is from a guest author on J.C. Dean's site. Ryan is an author, fitness expert, and specialist in the social sciences, and talking about simplicity in fitness. So my quote for you today highlights this perfectly. It comes from the great Albert Einstein. Quote, "Everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler." End quote. With that, let's hear his post as we optimize your life. Fitness Simplicity by Ryan Zilanka with jcdfitness.com. Expecting greatness out of the ascetic servitude the world has deemed necessary for six-pack abs or firm thighs seems, on the surface, perfectly logical. Fitness gurus told us we need 3 days of high-intensity interval training and 4 days of metabolic weight training a week to get there, while on a low-carb diet, no less. But is all this really necessary? We are raised in a culture where more is better. More hours at the office, more time at the gym, more gadgets and gizmos means more money, more muscles, and more happiness, or so we are told. The unfortunate reality is that this ambition has its limits, limits that are probably far lower than most people believe. People come to me, or more appropriately, come at me with questions about getting their skinny on, asking what kinds of exercise they should be doing, what kinds of foods they should be eating, and can they really have bread after 6 at night? Yet, in my efforts to please, whoever happens to be on the receiving end of my insight often responds with incredulity when I tell them they need to exercise less and eat more of the stuff they like. Total nonsense, they think, and perhaps so do you. America is obsessed with efficiency, more work done in less time, but we rarely consider the purpose of that work. When a trainer says to do 7 hours of exercise per week, it's taken as gospel, but what does that actually mean? What if we could hack off 4 of those hours and go back to playing PlayStation? Other fitness experts might scoff at this, but seriously, as a culture, we don't need more exercise, we need more perspective. We need to end this narcissistic crusade, stop being so self-indulgent, stop pretending that by enduring more, we're getting somewhere. Most fitness experts and gurus operate on the premise that what is explicit must trump what is implicit or intuitive. The industry thrives from its preoccupation of making radical changes to your diet, training program, and lifestyle. We are so willing to consider history and culture when discussing politics, but throw it out the window when we start talking about fitness. The point of all this is to help folks get back to brass tacks when it comes to their lives. The fitness thing is an adjunct to your life, not the other way around. And if it is, you need to seriously reevaluate what you are doing here on Earth. Let's take a measured approach to all of this. Here are 5 things you can do today to reestablish contact with your health of mind and your health of body. 1. Dial your taste buds and tell them to wake up. Someone decides to go on a diet, and what's the first thing they do? They toss the food they love out of their diet because someone told them they were bad or unclean. This, of course, makes absolutely no sense. When your feel-good neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin get depressed by low calories, why in the world would you want to make an already bad situation worse? Certainly, there will be caloric limitations to how much you can eat, but it's entirely doable, even in end-stage fat loss, to fit in pizza every now and then. And for those of you not on a diet, ditch the chicken breast and brown rice and broccoli for a while. Seek out new foods that make you sit up and take notice. Indulge in ethnic foods and cuisine that you really love, and start incorporating all of that, in same amounts of course, into your diet. 2. Stop counting calories. Blasphemy. Heathen. If you don't count calories, how will you know how much you've eaten? I'm not claiming that calories don't count. Of course they do. And tracking intake is a great way to acclimate yourself to what a sane and appropriate amount of food looks like for your body. But as a long-term lifestyle strategy, I just don't buy into obsessive calorie tracking. It tends to divorce us from the bodily signals that tell us when we're full, empty, or in desperate need of a refeed. Eat until sated, but stop before you're full, and definitely before you are stuffed. This will take some time to get used to, but it's important to get the experience of letting go of the spreadsheet reins. I have even aggressive fat loss clients take a 2-week break away from counting calories, and with my maintenance clients, we work off a simple meal plan. Simplicity is key, and for someone who is already health conscious, there is no need to needlessly reinforce ingrained eating habits when not working toward an aggressive physique goal. 3. Eat fewer times during the day, and the times that you do eat, aim for some culinary artistry. Maybe the whole obesity thing isn't about what we eat. Maybe it's about how we eat. It's an interesting thesis and one that I'm coming to agree with more and more. My time spent abroad in Europe made me realize how obsessed we are with expediency, with speed, with productivity in America. Rarely do we give thought to the quality of what we're doing or to the nature of the experience. This applies as much to our work as it does to our eating habits. Even in Tokyo, notorious for its hectic culture, I never once saw a person eating on the go. Never. There is, in fact, a cultural stigma against it. Stop snacking, stop relying on powders and bars and cottage cheese, go buy yourself a good cookbook, and promise yourself to make 2 well-prepared meals a day. Your waistline will thank you. 4. Try a new exercise activity and drop the excessive weight training. Resistance training need be done at most 4 times a week, 5 times if you can intelligently rotate workouts and monitor recovery. Adding more volume into a program won't make it better, yet it's often the first thing guys do when they notice their gains are stalling. Instead, consider taking up active recovery in the form of yoga or, heck, just a walk with the girlfriend or boyfriend. Aim for balance in training. Piling on more high-intensity exercise is rarely the answer. Look for ways to get some lower intensity activity during your week. Remember, growth happens outside the gym. 5. Schedule time for rest, relaxation, and goal planning. We work the grind, compressing more into less, and in the end, it takes its toll. We can be really good about hitting every one of our workouts, but how about recreational time with the family and with friends? We have so many things vying for our time, and now even our time away from work has been innervated by the pseudo-work found in things like Facebook. Stop it already. Humans were meant to explore, to bend with the forces of nature, to adapt. Get off Facebook and do something useful. Call someone, set up a dinner date, go rock climbing, whatever. Remember, there is no point in developing a flawless physique if, in the process, we lose the flexibility that makes us human. You just listened to the post titled Fitness Simplicity by Ryan Zilonka with jcdfitness.com. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it filters out incompatible applicants. So when you're hiring, the process is much faster, and you only have to consider applicants that are already likely to be a great fit. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/health. Just go to Indeed.com/health right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/health. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, The scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
When Ryan mentioned in his post that maybe the whole obesity thing isn't about what we eat, but about how we eat, really hit home with me. There's been a movement that was spurred by Dean Ornish called mindful eating. And it goes back to another tip that Ryan shared. When you eat, think about how that food tastes. Think about the smell, the texture, the colors, all of that. When you take your first bite, think about all of the flavors and the texture. That whole process is to continue during that entire meal. This slows the process down. This makes you grateful for what you're eating. And what we're finding is that by doing this, you tend to eat fewer calories. You tend to select more nutritious foods. The problem is we do the opposite in America. The great Walter Willett, a researcher at Harvard School of Public Health, says, we in the US eat like this. We run up to the trough, pig out, and then run away. And all of that occurs in about 10 minutes or less. That's not how we should eat our meals. We view food as the enemy. This is going to make me fat. This is not going to help me reach my goals. I should stay away from this, but I'm going to eat it anyways. When we think about our attitude towards food, it's completely backwards. But if we become more mindful of what we're eating and are grateful for it and realize that this is going to be nourishing to us, all of a sudden, our lifestyle changes. Our habits begin to change. And by slowing the eating process down, it allows our brains to realize that, you know what, we are satisfied. We've had enough food. When we eat too quickly, our brains don't receive the signal that we've had enough food. So when we savor the food, it slows the process down. And then if we can stop eating at the point where the hunger has gone away, not to the point where we start to feel full and uncomfortable, but to the point where the hunger has vanished, then we're going to find that we're going to be able to maintain our weight better. The pounds may start to slip off. And again, hopefully we'll be selecting more nutritious foods. And in fact, in Japan, Ryan talked about Tokyo. In Japan, a common practice is to eat until you're 80% full. And coincidentally, Japan has some of the highest concentrations of centenarians, those that live to the age of 100 or more. Maybe a coincidence, or maybe they're onto something. All right, that's enough for me. Thank you, as always, for listening today and every day. I'll be back tomorrow with a post from regular contributor Ben Greenfield. So I'll see you there, where your optimal life awaits.